few questions. The noyach, this shiur will be a little bit metaphysical, somewhat metaphysical, even though most of the practically all the shiurim I gave on chumash really never went into any metaphysical areas, but this one will go in somewhat into metaphysics. I don't feel that I could back up everything that that I have to say here. So certain things that I say, I am just saying on the basis of conjecture, which means that I don't really have any proofs for them. But it would seem to express itself as a possibility. All right, now let's start. All right, the first question is like this. The question is that, and Bernie asked me the question once. It's an open question, actually, an open question. The question is, the Vayom Alekim, Zosos of Brith Shani, no same, Ebeni of Enechem, Ebeni Kol Nefesh Chai Asher, Yitzchom Doros Olam. Or rather, start from before.
Where are you?
What? I'm starting in Noyach Tess.
Noyach Tess.
All right. It says, Vakimaisi Nayach Perektes Paskidal. Vakimaisis Brisi Itchem Vlaikores Kol Boso Oid Mea Mabel. Vlaia Oid Mabel Lashaches Aretz. Right? So after the Mabel, or actually it starts before, I'm sorry. It starts before, right? It's Ches, really. It starts Ches. Okay? It says, "Vayorach Hashem, v'yivenech mizbeach l'Hashem, v'yikach mikol v'hem atorah, mikol leif atorah, v'yal l'alas mizbeach. Vayorach Hashem esreach anichayach, v'yam Hashem el libay. Lo'yosef v'kalal oides ha'adoma ba'avur ha'adam. Ki yetzel leif ha'adam ramin urav. Lo'yosef oid l'hakos es kol chay kasher asis." As Rava says, he will never again bring a mabul on the earth. Right? Okay, then you have again later, like I quoted to you before. Like a Moses Brisi Ifchem, Vale Kores, Kobosa, Mea Mabel, Leo, Edel Mabel, Shaches. Alright, fine. Cassius, whole business. So, mentioned, enunciated a few times. Underlined a few times. Now, it's interesting that it's almost like the same, like in contradistinction to what happened before. Because before, it's a Vayamar Hashem, Vayashem Karabo, Brachis Vav. Vayashem ki rabba ra'as adam ba'oretz v'chol yetzem achshavais libay rak kol ayoyim v'yinochem ad Hashem ki osas adam ba'oretz v'yisatzei v'libay. So v'yisatzei v'libay. Over here it says again, v'yem Hashem el libay le'oysef le'kalel oydes adam ha'bavur adam ki yetze lev adam ra min urav. Interesting, over there it says v'chol yetzem achshavais libay rak kol ayoyim. Right, and over here it says ki yetze lev adam ra min urav. It's almost the same wording, you see, but to express the opposite idea. Right? Okay. This one's a libay, that one's a libay. This one says, yeah, kiyetze leva adam ram in urov, and the other one is chol yetze machshavais libay rak ol yoyim. It's almost pretty close, almost the same. One deserves a mabul, one never. One deserves a bris that a mabul will never occur. Okay. But we'll get into that later. The first thing I want to understand is like this. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the mabul, so apparently it would seem that we must say that this was the most beneficial, or shall I say, beneficial might not be the proper term, because beneficial would imply it's benefit to somebody, or the most appropriate, proper action that was to come about. In other words, this was the just action that God in his wisdom decided should take place. That the mabul should inundate the world and everything should die, right? That was what God decided. Okay, so that means that when God decided that, it means that this is the only way, or the best way and only way that things could be, right? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with his infinite chokhmah, says that this is what the Zardin is. His Zardin is the only real Zardin. That's the reality of things. That's where things have to be, and they can't change. That's the case. So, how could it be? What kind of sense does it make that a Kadosh Baruch Hu should say later, after the Mabul, there will never ever be another Mabul?
And why should it be that way?
If you're going to tell me that if it's a prediction, you see, so that's only the bris prediction that there will never be a cause for the mabul, right? Fine. But if you're going to then there's nothing. This time there never will be. But it seems that it's more than just a prediction. Not a pshat, it's a prediction that God's saying it won't be. He's saying that the bris means that this occurrence will never take place, regardless of what happens. In other words, no matter how evil man will be, he'll never have a mabul. Doesn't mean that man will not be evil. You don't need a bris for that, man won't be evil. It means no matter what happens, still there will never be mabul. Why was there first mabul? I mean, HaKadosh Baruch Hu lo yishkel v'chazev v'ven adam v'yisnecham. God doesn't change his mind. He was sorry he made the first mabul, now he's never going to make another one. That doesn't make any sense, right? The first one was the right thing, that the world deserved the mabul at that time. So therefore, what should follow rationally is that if the world deserves a mabul again, so then they should have another mabul. I mean, what kind of thing is this? Maybe now is a different justice than before. The same Bar Olam, same Mishpat, same judgment, right? That's the question. That's the question Bernie asked me. It's an open question. I mean, he's open the psukim, but it's a very basic question, a very important question. It's a question which I didn't find anyone that really deals with it. I don't know, maybe somebody here somebody deals with the question. It's a basic question, open question. Awesome. One that has to be dealt with, not the question in pshat. Okay. That's one question. All right? Another question is, if you look at the reasoning seems very funny also. Why? Okay. I will not continue to curse the earth because of man. Why? Because the instinctual essence of man, or the instinctual desires of man, or his essence, is evil from his earliest youth, the time he's born. Okay? And I will not continue to destroy all living creatures like I did before. Alright? That's the basic translation of the pasuk. So I'd like to understand, what does it mean, kiyetze lev adam ramin urav? It means, so Chazal say, it means that the Yetzer Hara, the evil inclination, starts at birth. Right? The Yetzer Tov doesn't come until he's 13, until his mind gains control over his instincts. But a cotton is considered rough. Cotton, even though cotton is never did an avera, but he never did an avera because he didn't have bechira, so actually I have to say he did an avera. But he basically represents instinctual forces, and instinctual forces is evil. Because the only thing that's good is when a person's chokhmah, when the chokhmah sa adam is in control, then you can speak about good. But before that point, there is no good. It's just instincts. So it could be he's a nice kid, could be very nice. But it's also an instinctual force. It might be nice in the wrong time. It might be nice to a crook. It might be nice to a murderer. See? So as long as there's no control, so then it's raw. That's what the Chazal say. Ki yetzer lev adam ra min urav, Rashi says. It means from the time, in the Gemara says that the Yetzirah has an Akdama on the Kedima on the Yetzirah Tev. Because the Yetzirah Tev is the Chochmah, the Tzalam Alakim, that perceives the objective truth, and the instinctual forces don't perceive any objective truth. They're just attached to particulars. So it's just the instinctual forces. So that's evil. That's Ra. Okay, good. But what kind of a reason? Fine, it's a nice limud. It's a very important philosophical limud. But what's the reasoning? What does it have to do with it? So therefore, lo osif l'kal osif l'kal osif l'kal osif l'kal osif. I would say if I said the opposite way, it would probably make more sense. You know what I mean? No, osif l'kal osif l'kal osif l'kal osif l'kal osif l'kal osif l'kal osif. So he deserves to be destroyed. Right? The thing is ra. He's ra. If that's the case, then why before also, that before it says, v'chol yetzel machshev osif libo rak rak kol hayom. Which means that he's inherently evil, so on the contrary, so he shouldn't deserve to be destroyed, just like over here. You know what I mean? I mean, it's a funny thing. It's the same reason. Works both ways. Right? So you say it's in mitigating circumstances. In other words, it's not his fault. So if it's not his fault, why do it the first time? And also, if it's not his fault, that means he has no control of it. So it means that he's inherently evil. So what's the purpose in his existence? On the contrary, then there's no purpose altogether. Then he should really be destroyed. Right? He's inherently evil. You have a creature that's inherently evil by nature, and that's it.
Yeah.
All right. If he's inherently evil and he can't do anything about it, so he doesn't deserve to exist. Okay. Hard pasuk. That's just a tremendous question. I think that if we, as a result, it will be answered. It's a kasha on Rashi. Ramban asks a kasha on Rashi. The Rashi is in Bereishis Vav, Pasuk Yud Zayin. V'ani yihinini mevi es amabo mayim al ha'aretz l'shaches kol bosa sheboru ha'chayim v'tachas ha'shamoyim. Want me to translate that one to Levi? Okay. You got it? Vav Yud Zayin. Okay. All right. I will bring the marble of the flood on the earth to destroy all flesh which has life from under the heavens. Whatever exists in the earth will die.
Yeah.
That's the pasuk. Pasuk Yud Zayin, right? So Rashi says, "Vanihini mevi hini muchon lahaskim im osam shezir zuni va'amru lefonai kvar ma enosh kisus karenam." All right, I'm ready to agree with those who influenced me, or who tried to, what's the right word? Would be, what? No, Lazarus means to encourage to do something, yeah. To incite. To inspire. Loshim Shez Erzuni, to those that inspired me and said before me, Ma'anesh Kisus Kareno. Right, the Malachim, they said, Ma'anesh Kisus Kareno, what's the purpose of man? No. He says, now God says, I'm ready to agree with the Malachim. Okay. So the Ramban, it's actually the Bereishis Rabbah. See, Ramban says, "Vani ani mevi mazma avol hini maskim mas shomo ufane manish kisrenu loshin rashi mi Bereishis Rabbah." Then came, Ramban says, "Tema." Big question. Ve'ach maskim imoyem vu mashir lehem she'eris lefleit gedola kenoach avonav v'chol chai laharba zaram kachol laharba zaram kafras tevel setzov kachol ayam. In right? Okay. Ramban. So Ramban says that he has a kash. He says, how could you say over here that God is agreeing with the Malachim not to create they said not to create man, so therefore God's going to destroy man. He says, he's leaving them over a remnant that eventually will be a tremendous, grow into a tremendous population. Kenoach ubanav, he's leaving Noach and his kids. V'chol chai, he's making a teva, all the behemoths, everything's coming in there. Anyway, so how can he's agreeing to destroy the world? There's no destruction of the world here on the continent. It's a temporary, a little bit of a setback. You have to start over again. But, right. But nevertheless, there's going to be a tremendous civilization will emerge from this, and the whole world will be populated. Right? That's Kash. He doesn't answer. He says to himself. But Rashi learns that from Vani. What's Vani and I? Vani? It's referring to Vav Maisval and Yerushin. It's referring to what happened previously. And I also agree with the Malachim. Okay, so Ramban says another Shavani. Okay. That's another Kash. All right. Hold it. Okay. One more question. Right, this one's a metaphysical question. Okay? All right. Question is like this. Question is that we know that one of the Yisrael Yadus is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Kadmain, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Kadmain, right? In other words, we say only He is Kadmain and nothing else is Kadmain. There's nothing else eternal besides HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? We deny what the Rambam mentioned, what the Aristotelians held, that there is Kadmas Olam. Kadmas Olam means that there is an eternity of the universe. Okay, alongside with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because Aristotle didn't deny that there's a God. Aristotle maintained there is God, but he said, together with God, there always was an eternal universe. All right? Now, what is really the what is the difference between Aristotle's view and ours? That's the question of like a game. Who is first? Who is first? It has a deep philosophical significance. According to Aristotle, Aristotle maintains, and one time I went through this, that the universe is a like a shadow of God. The essence, of course, is God. He doesn't deny it. But the universe is a result of God's existence. God's existence necessitates the existence of the universe. The universe stems from him. It would be like the Rambam's mashal, like a shadow of a wall. You have a wall, and you have the sun. Now the sun casts a shadow on the sun is shedding light on the wall, so there's a shadow cast on the wall. So the existence of the wall necessitates the existence of a shadow. You see? So the shadow actually, the wall of course is the essential thing. But the wall, when you have a wall, you're automatically going to have a secondary entity known as a shadow. Right? That's what Aristotle says. Reasons why he says it, why he likes that theory. Now Rambam says in the Modern Book, Rambam says that Aristotle never proved this theory, and Aristotle held that both possibilities exist. But he leaned more towards that because it answered certain questions in his mind. He says, but we who have Nevuah, we know for a fact that the other way is true. So never mind that it answers more questions. I mean, we have a broader spectrum of scientific knowledge to draw from than he did. Because our spectrum of knowledge includes Nevuah, which his didn't. So therefore, based upon our knowledge, we know that what he said isn't true. That's what the Rambam says. The Rambam in the Modern Vocal goes to great lengths to show that that's really one of the main purposes of the Modern Vocal, to show Kadmus HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Alright, his theory of Kadmus HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Alright, now, according to us, what do we say? Let's understand, what do we say? We say that Kadosh Baruch Hu is Kadmai, nobody else. So what does that mean? That means that the world was created from the Maisei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak. Every word we use in reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have to remember, like the Rambam says many times in the Mara, is only a word which we use in a homonymous sense. In other words, it's similar to something that we know. But it's not really essentially, you can't say Maisei Hashem like Maisei Adam, because Maisei Adam involves actions and physical things, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. But we use the term metaphorically, okay? So, in relationship to how we maintain that the world resulted from an act of creation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Bereishis Bara Elokim Es HaShamayim Ves Haaretz, but it didn't naturally exist as a result of his essence. Okay? You understand what I mean? It didn't exist like a shadow of a wall. But on the contrary, the existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu alone is the only thing that is eternal, but as a result of his action, the world was created. All right? It's not a result of his essence, it's a result of his action. Okay. All right. Now, fine. That's the difference. Of course, the difference would be, according to us, we say that the physical world is not necessitated by the existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Whereas Aristotle has to maintain that the physical results from HaKadosh Baruch Hu directly. We maintain it doesn't result. So in our concept, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is further removed from the physical. All right? Because the physical doesn't even exist as a necessary result of him, of his essence. Oh. But anyway, that's a side point. Okay. These are things which are metaphysical things, but are extremely important for a person to have in his mind. I'm not saying I would not recommend anyone to attempt to go into the area at this point. I mean, the person has to know very carefully what he's ready for. Because if the person makes a mistake in those areas, he could be the greatest detriment. Rambam explains that the worst thing that a person can have is wrong knowledge in relationship to that which is most essential. And of course, the most essential thing is God. So wrong knowledge in that area is the most dangerous. A person should know, you know, not to just venture into these areas until he reaches a certain level of perfection in terms of thinking, in terms of his midos, different things. It involves a lot of perfections. But the basics a person should know. I mean, a person must know... A person has to know. It's not a matter of philosophy. He has to know the basic idea. Basic idea. He doesn't have to be a big metaphysician, but he can know what the basic idea is, and that's important. And the idea of Kadmus HaKadosh Baruch Hu is one of the Yisrael Yadas. So a person should know what it means. That's basically what it means. Just what I'm saying now is what it means. Okay. Now, all right. That's the idea of Kadmus HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now I'll ask you a question. The Rambam says in the Hilchos Yisrael the Atera. Have you got a Rambam? That's what it is. Right in the beginning. You say this. That's why the Rambam wrote this, by the way, in the Yad HaChazaka. Because these things in the Yad HaChazaka is really not, the Rambam didn't write in the Yad HaChazaka things that a person isn't ready to learn. But he just writes the results in the Yad HaChazaka. The mistake today is that many people don't even, they feel you're not supposed to learn the philosophy unless you're on a very high level. So therefore, what do? So they feel that you're not supposed to, you can't know anything. So a person can't know whether Hashem is a goof or is not a goof. I mean, this is ridiculous. And I'm emphasizing this in the beginning of the Marin of Uchim. There's certain things that a person has to know. For instance, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have any emotions. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have anything, nothing physical. I mean, these are important. These you say to that. A person doesn't know this, he's a taifer. No matter, you know, this the thing is, of not going into philosophy until the person's ready. But on the other hand, if he doesn't understand the basic ideas, so he doesn't have Kedushas Yisrael. He's not completely Jewish. Because Kedushas Yisrael is by part of Kedushas Yisrael was created by Yud Gimel Ikarim. The person has to know the Ikarim. All right. So at any rate, that's why the Rambam wrote over here the Marin of Uchim to understand really what he means over there. The person has to be at a very high level. But the basic Yisaitis, the Rambam wrote over here. So that everybody should know what the Yisaitis are. Okay. Yisaitis, Mamun HaChokhmais Leida Sheyesham Motsi Rishayim. Vahu Mamsi Kol Nimtza. Vachol HaNimtzoyim Mishamayim V'ora Tumashe B'neim L'Nimtza Ola Me Amitas Himotza. It means that there is something who is an eternal existence, and everything that exists is generated from him. Okay? Now he says, Vim Yala Ala Das Shehu Einam Motsui Ein Dover Acha Yochali Matos. And if you will for a moment think, if that was possible, that there is no God, then nothing else can exist. That's what the Rambam says. Okay? Vim Yala Ala Das Shehu Einam Kolan Mitzoyim Olvado Mitzuyim. And if you're going to say, however, if you would assume that nothing else exists, Hu Levado Yimotzi, he will exist. Okay? V'lo Yivai, V'lo Yibotel Hu Lebitulam. Shekol HaNimtzoyim Tzrichen Lo, everything that exists needs him. V'hu Baruch Hu Ein Etzarach Lohem, V'lo Lechad Mehem. L'fikach Ein Amitaso Kamitas Echad Mehem. His essence is not like anything else. All right. That's what the Rambam says. What Ram means by emes is reality. He is the underlying source of reality. He is the real reality, because he is that which is unchangeable and behind all the reality of the realities. So when you trace back reality, you see when you first see something, you see a table. That's not the reality. It looks like a solid substance. You investigate, you see atoms, you see everything. Everything you're going to trace back, you'll finally come back that there's only one ultimate reality, one unchangeable reality, that is the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Alright? Alright. Bucha Tarmaras, Ein Oid Milvadai. Klema, Ein Shom Motsui Emes Milvadai Kamaisai. Okay. Alright. That, I could understand, you see, if you should say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that the world results from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's essence, it's a natural result of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's essence, so then I understand why, if he doesn't exist, then nothing else exists. Right? Mm-hmm. However, if we should say it's a result of his actions, then why is this so? That if he doesn't exist, then nothing else exists. On the contrary, the Rambam in the Mirror also speaks about this. Most of the things, practically everything, I mean, is in the Yad HaChazaka, the Rambam elaborates in the Mirror, because the Mirror is a philosophy. And the Rambam says that, the Rambam says over there that, it's not like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not like the builder of a house. In other words, the builder of a house If he dies, the house continues to exist. Right? So once he builds the house, he can depart. He goes away. He goes on his merry way. The house stays. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not that way. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the universe which was created by him, if he should cease to exist, then the whole universe would cease to exist. If such a thing was possible, then he should cease to exist. All right? You follow what I'm saying? The question I'm asking is this. How could you maintain both things? How could you maintain that the world is a result of God's actions, which is the Yesod of Yahadus, right? It's not a result of his essence. And simultaneously say that if he ceases to exist, the whole world would cease to exist. It would seem to be a contradiction. It is a result of his essence, like they hold that the Olam is a Kadmain. So then I can understand, because the natural result, like the shadow from the wall, if the wall ceases to exist, then the shadow will cease to exist, right? But if it's a result of his actions, so then on the contrary, you seem to be saying that if he should cease to exist, then the world should still continue. Just like a carpenter builds a house. He dies, the house still stands, right? That's the question. That's the question I'm asking. It's a metaphysical question. That's the question I'm asking. Yeah. What really is in Bereishis is Yetzira Yesh Me'ayin, right? We're all familiar with the phrase Yesh Me'ayin. I don't think too many of us really understand what we mean when we say Yesh Me'ayin. Yesh Me'ayin means something from nothing, right? Okay. Of course, the problem is most people, when they say something from nothing, they say, well, God took nothing and then he made something out of it. Right? Easier for us to see it if we understand the simple case that we see physically with our eyes. If a carpenter builds a house, or builds a bench or a table, so actually the only thing he has to do, is take certain objects and put them together, right? Yeah, organize certain things in a certain manner. Once they're organized in a certain manner, he doesn't have to worry about their continued existence. And because of that, we asked the question. The question was, the same thing should be with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? The analogy is not a correct one. I'll tell you why the analogy is not a correct one. The analogy is not a correct one because for a simple reason. The reason why the carpenter doesn't have to worry about the continued existence of the object is because God already took care of that. He provided him with it. In other words, those objects that he takes and he puts together to make a table, those objects really are provided with continued existence to begin with. It's not that the table, you see, continues its existence. On the contrary, in other words, if it was, you see, he makes a table. Now, that which he produces doesn't have continued existence, because the continued existence is in the objects which he uses, in the material which he uses. You see? That's the continued existence. You follow what I'm saying? Now, I want to show you this one thing. Why am I saying this? I want to show you one thing. There's a mistake that you make in your mind. Really, when we say HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Kadmain, I explained many times at length, I'm not going to go through it again, but if anybody doesn't understand, I think they should try to find out what it is. It means that God is necessary, his existence is necessary. That's why you can't ask who came before God, who preceded, where did God come from? Because his existence, by definition, is necessary. Okay? That's his nature is tied up with existence. All these terms show that somehow, even though we don't understand the essence, but we know that it's tied up with existence. His essence is... It's hard to say it. Necessary existence. Where is it? Part of it. Alright. Avoid the wrong word. Okay. Now, actually, when something is created, what does it mean something is created? It means that its existence is not necessary, right? Which means more, actually, that it should not exist, right? So, therefore, now what happens? When God gives it existence, what does it mean? What does it mean? It means that it really shouldn't exist, but why does it exist? Why does it exist? Because of God's will, right? Now, just like if a thing's nature is not to exist, just like his will is necessary to bring it into existence in the first second, it's necessary to continue its existence all the way down the line. Because since its nature is not to exist, what difference is there between the first second and the second second and the 10th second? It's all the same.
Something has its own nature now.
Its nature is not to exist. And the only reason why it exists is because of God's will. So God's will is, just like God's will is necessary to bring it into existence, his will is necessary to continue its existence. There really is no difference, you see. Why is it difficult for us to see this? Because we're used to seeing a person build something and he walks away and it stays there. But that's what I'm telling you. The reason why it stays there is not because of him. You see? Yeah, his actions of the table do not stay there anymore. His actions of putting the table together vanish the moment he stopped those actions. You see? The reason why the table exists is because he didn't produce a table. What we call a table is nothing more than a certain order of objects. Now, there's no law against objects staying in that order. In other words, if I take a hammer and I bang two pieces of wood together, right? There is no, on the contrary, the law of nature says that these two will remain that way. You follow? It's not the carpenter that's keeping them there. It's not his action just put them in a certain position. Which in their nature it is to remain once it's in that position. So the reason why it remains is because of their nature. I'll give you an example of where, for instance, you would need continued, pressure or continued action on the part of the carpenter. If, for instance, the person who does something, okay. Let's say, for instance, you take a ball and you want to keep it submerged beneath the water, right? Now, what you have to do is you have to hold it down there. Why? Because since its nature is to rise, so if you should have, right, if you should have a balloon, right, and you take it and you try to push it under an inflated ball, try to push it underneath the water, what happens is its nature is to rise. So therefore, even when you put it down there, you take your hand away, you can't say, well, I put it there, now it's going to stay there. That's ridiculous. Because its nature is not to be there. So the only way it can remain there is through a continued application of pressure on the part of the individual who's putting it there. Right? Okay? In that case, if the carpenter was trying to build a house beneath the water, he would either have to hold it down constantly, or else he would have to use some other methods whose nature it is already to remain that way. It wouldn't be against their nature. Then it'll remain there, but not because of him, but because of the fact that God created in nature these laws. You understand what I mean? So what I'm trying to show you is like this, that if something, by definition, if something has its as its nature not to exist, there is no difference between its inception, its beginning, its coming into existence, and between its remaining in existence. Logically, you can see there's no difference, because since by nature it's not to exist, what does it make in the first man and the second man? Okay. How do we know? Well, let me ask this question first. How do we know its nature is not to exist? Because the object's nature cannot be to exist, or the person's nature, or whatever it is that is created, cannot be to exist, because we say there's only one thing whose nature it is to exist. That being is God. Everything else's nature is not to exist, and everything else is created. That's what we mean by created. That's what created means. Created, by definition, means that the nature of the object is not to exist. God means something, a being whose nature it is to exist. Two different things. You follow what I'm saying? Okay. Now, all those things whose nature is not to exist and who do exist only exist because of the will of the being whose nature it is to exist. You see? Otherwise, it would be impossible for them to exist, by definition. You see it clearly? Okay. What's your problem? That's one. All right? And that's why the question is really, is not a question. That's what it means. That's what it means. It doesn't mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu every day makes a new Bria. It's ridiculous. I mean, Bereishis for Elokim HaShemayim VaHaaretz starts every day again a new thing. I mean, that's an absurdity. No one says that. The Gemara talks about the Bria, when what season it was created, according to this, was created as Machlokes is created, and Nisan created, and Tishrei. Every day it's created. It's absurd. HaMachash Tutu V'Chol Yom Tov Maaseh Bereishis, that's what it means. It means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the reason why the world exists every day is because Macharesh B'tuvoi B'chol Yom Tov Maaseh Bereishis. That means it is his will every day, because of his nature, because of his goodness, B'tuvoi. It means his perfection. Because of his perfection, it is his will every day that it should exist. That's why we exist. That's what it means, really. That's the Kabbalah of Malchus Shemayim of Yetzer HaMaris. That we shouldn't think for a moment that the world just, he created it once, and now it's going. No. You should realize that every minute that we exist, that the universe exists, it's only because of his will, because he's the only necessary existence. Okay. Now. So now we have to ask one question, though. It's true that it's his will every minute that we exist, but the question you'll ask is, if that's the case, so really what is the difference between the Bria and between now? You understand what I mean? That's the case. In other words, if you're going to tell me that, if you're going to tell me that there's no difference between the first moment of inception and between the continued existence of an object, right? So then we could ask a question, is that so? So then how could you have, how could you say there's a Bracious Bar? Right? Right? Every yes, every second, Bracious Bar. Right?
That's the rest of the beginning of the creating.
Right. Yesh me'ayin. See, yesh, just want to get back. Yesh me'ayin doesn't mean poof. It's there. Yesh me'ayin means, that it exists because of his will. That's what it means. It's just, yesh me'ayin is really a descriptive term. It's not a good term, because like people imagine things, oh, yesh me'ayin, they don't know what to say. Yesh me'ayin really means only one thing. It means that it exists because of his will. That's what it means. Okay? All right. There is nothing which has existence by nature. And yesh means that there is something here. It means it exists as a result of his will. That's all it means. It's a metaphorical. The term is a metaphorical term. It doesn't mean yesh man. Poof, there it is. Now it exists. And now it's here. And now it's here. It's here just like a person made a table. It just means one thing. If it was yesh me yesh, it would mean that there was something which was eternal besides God. That's kfira. That's kfira. Yadis maintains that that's absolute fear. Okay. What? Which is related to this object. That's what it means.
Oh, okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
Whose nature has existence that is related in any way to this object which is created. Okay? God's will to exist, right? So then the question is, so then why, what's the difference between creation and between continued existence? What's Sheish Shmei Bereshis? All right? Yes. There is one step further than Aristotle, because they want to say that the universe itself is has existence, has inherent existence. That's impossible. That's for Aristotle was made. That Aristotle said as a result, as a reflection of God. You know, but Aristotle maintained that there's a Birel. They want him to deny this Birel even further away. That's real clear, absolutely. But anyways, the Yadis maintains the exact extreme. Okay. All right. With, if that's the case, what's the difference between Bereshis and between the first 6 days of creation and afterwards? All right. Maybe if we understand that, we'll understand also what the Shabbos is. Yemeshi Shabbos Mayinafash. Kosh Ma'am Varetz Chol Tzvam says Bo Shabbos Bo Menucha. As I'll say, Kosh Baruch Hu was Shabbos. What do you mean Shabbos? Kosh Baruch Hu rested. What does it mean? All right. Shin. God's will was related to the particular objects that were created. That's the pshat. See? During the creation, God's will was related directly to the particular objects that were created. He created light, so his will was related to the light. But after the creation, there were laws, universal laws, that were fixed. For instance, by Adam Arishon, when he created Adam Arishon, when he created the first behemoth. So his will was related to those objects that were created. See? It was direct will related to those particulars. But their continued existence does not involve a direct will of God anymore. But it involves the relationship of his will to certain universals. You see? And since his will is related to those universals, so that's why it continues to exist. Chukei, what the Navi calls Chukei Shamayim Va'aretz. In Lo Brisi Yom Lo'ela, Chukos Shamayim Va'aretz Lo Santi. Chukos Shamayim Va'aretz. Chok! Nosan Lahem Shalei Yishana. Probably when you say the bracha of Hashem Ma'amar Bar Shkak Baruch Piv Kol Tzvam. Chok Uzman Lasan Lahem Shalei Yishana Stavkida. What does it mean, Chok Uzman Lasan Lahem? It means laws were implanted that they shouldn't change. It means that God doesn't tell the moon every second that the moon should be here, the moon should be here, the sun should be here, the relationship to the earth, all these things. No, it's Chok Uzman. We don't maintain it. There were certain shitas that maintain that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is everything that takes place is particular. That then they record, because they base it on a Chazal, because Chazal say that there's a Malach standing in front of every blade of grass telling it to grow. They say that it means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will is directed simultaneously to every single particular. Now, we don't maintain that way. The Rambam disproves. Rambam rejects that idea. The what? I'm telling you, Chokus Mana Samlem. Saying that there are laws, universals, which include. That's right. Now his will now relates to the universals, and because of the universals, the particulars which are included in the universals. So these particulars exist because of the universals, but his will is directed to the universals. Yeah. Plato was right when he said the universals is the real reality. Right. Because that's where his will relates to the universal, and because of those, the particulars exist. Right? Without the universal. What? Themselves, even the universals themselves do not exist inherently of their nature. So God's will relates to the universals. That's the difference between before Briyas Shemayim, before the Sheshmei, the end of Sheshmei Bereishis, and after. Okay?
Yeah.
All right. Erev Shabbos Bein Hashmoshes. And Chazal Shita is that there is never a breach in the laws of nature. That's what Chazal held.
Yeah.
Never a breach. Everything was... The fish that swallowed Yena was Mamuna Isidog Misheshime Bracious. The fact that the Yam split was because of that... That was Mamuna Misheshime Bracious. That's the Shita of Chazal. Why? Because that's why a lot of things that happened in the Bria, that happened, for instance, in the second account of Adam Rishon, right? Biborim, right. Biborim broke him, then it says that he made Chava, all those things. So the Rambam says, and of course the Chazal will say, that why were those things possible? Because it's referring to before. All this happened really during the 6 days, so there's nothing against the laws of nature. Because the laws of nature weren't formulated yet. What does it mean they weren't formulated yet? What does it mean? His will was not, that's right, his will had not yet set itself up with relationship to universals, so therefore there's no violation. You see? So afterwards, once he had Bein Hashkiyas HaChama on the Yom HaShishi, right? And he had, right. What? Then, once he had the end of the 6 days, then his will was related to the universals. And that's why, that's the difference. Now, what does Shabbos mean? What does Shabbos mean? Shabbos means Bar Shabbos Bar Menucha, a new entity of Menucha. What does it mean, a new entity of Menucha? It means, that's right, exactly. It means that the Shabbos means that his will ceased to be related to the particulars, and that was related to the universe. That's Menucha. Menucha means the whole system is working now on universals. Actually, it's a bite, right? Because that's when the universals took place. Bayam Ashri. That's right. Erev Shabbos, after Bein Hashmashes. That's right.
What's the concept of Menucha here?
On that, right. That's good. Yes. Means that God's will related to the universals. Menucha means that now there was perfect harmony. When was the harmony created? There is no harmony if there's an individual will relating to one thing in one way and another will relating to another. There's no harmony yet. When the universals are brought into existence, then there's a harmony. That's Shrisa, that's Shabbos. Of course, all the universals are, there's one will relating to the universals, and everything fits in and works along those universals. That's the way the universe keeps going. You know what I mean? That's the harmony. That's Shrisa on Shabbos. That's what it means, Mechalakim Bayam Shri. All right? Now, actually, it's an interesting thing, but you say it in the tefillah. You say on Friday nights, what do you say? Ataki dashes yom ha'shvi l'shmecha, tachlis ma'aseh shemayim v'aretz. What does it mean, tachlis ma'aseh shemayim v'aretz? What's a tachlis? Tachlis means the whole purpose, the end purpose. Why does tachlis mean? It's one another day. Right? Nice day, very good day. Right? But tachlis means, because that was the objective. Why was it the objective? Because everything was building up to the time when they worked through the universals. You see? Tachlis Ma'aseh Shemayim V'aretz. That's the tachlis. That was the end objective. That's what it means. Right? So, Yeah, because it doesn't mean tachlis mashia. It doesn't mean tachlis for the person. It means for, it means in terms of God's creation. Because it's act like dash shli lishmecha tachlis mashia shemayim v'aretz. What does it mean tachlis mashia shemayim v'aretz? Why the tachlis? You know what I mean? It doesn't mean for us. It means for that was a tachlis in its creation. It was a tachlis because that's where the universals. That's when all the universals came into existence, into harmony, so that they work one with another. Everything works together, and there's one will related to the universal. Okay? All right, that's why really we know that... I now take a question. Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry, I'm off. It's a transition of his will from particulars to universals. Okay. Now, they couldn't be fixed before the end of Sheish Vei Bereishis, until everything's in it. Right. The universals means a harmony among them, not just universals, a list of universals, but there has to be a harmony among the universals. There has to be another universal that unites everything. You know what I mean? There has to be universal of the universals. So it has to be, really, that's the way it works. That's right, as a person, the whole, all knowledge is unification. The more a person studies, the more he sees unification. Why? Because there's one relationship that exists between everything that exists has a relationship to each other. So you find the ultimate universal, that's the highest chokhmah. That's why the Einsteinian physics is the highest chachma. Why? Because it's dealing with the universals of motion and time. Those are the basic universals. Everything has to be dealing with that. It's the most universal concept. Okay? The more universal, the higher the chachma. All right. Now, I'm not getting into that. Anyways, there's two things in Shabbos, right? There's Shabbos Shishash. Well, basically, it's like this. Shabbos is bris, because actually in the tefillah on Friday night, there's three tefillahs on Shabbos. Friday night the tefillah is, so that's the bris shemayim v'aretz, right? Okay. Then Shabbos morning is yismach moishav matnas chalka, yevon emet kresalav. So what's Shabbos morning, the tefillah, what's the essence of the tefillah on Shabbos morning? Is that Shabbos is bris. Because it says, nobody else, right? Because really, there's only two things an Akum can't do. An Akum can do all the mitzvahs. He can daven, he can come in, he can put on tefillin, he can do everything. But the only thing he can't do is he can't do Shabbos, can't tell the Torah. Okay, fine. So really, that's the second aspect of Shabbos is bris. One of achata, bechira, bechira sa'am. Now. Mincha time. Those are two aspects. What's mincha time? So, yeah, mincha kiddush ma'am chana sata. Right. First kiddush. Let me look at mincha sata. What does it say? What? Yisro Gerai. Right. Right. The benefit of the personal benefit of the shrisa. That's the personal benefit of the experience of Shabbos. That's the that's the benefit. See? So actually, Rashi at the Reitz Bar, that's really the climax of Mincha. See? So you have three. So there's two things actually, but in terms of Shabbos, essentially structured, there's two things. That's why you say Shishi. You say before Kiddush, because Kiddush is really in terms of the how's the bracha go? Right. So first is Zikaron L'Ma'aseh Bereishis. Then Kivon V'Achata. Then Zechel. Kivon V'Achata. Sanigash Shu Kolamim. Shabbos Kach Chavrus and Chaltano. That's already the second. That's from the daytime already. See, that's bris mitzvah. Two things. Now the thing is like this. That's why you say Vayev Vayekiyem Hashishi before nighttime. So you have that. Why? Because. And it says you say Mu'mad. You say Mu'mad. Why Mu'mad? Because it's Eidus. What's the Eidus? How is it Eidus? Because our Shvisa is Eidus that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Shemayim V'aretz. How is our Shvisa Eidus that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Shemayim V'aretz? I mean, there must be something to it. Just stop me do any action is going to be an Eidus. Why? So there must be some similarity between our Shvisa and between the Bria Shemayim V'aretz in terms of Shabbos, right? How could it be similar to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in terms of Shemayim V'aretz? How? What's the answer? Cessation of what? Exactly. Because all creativity, insofar as man is concerned, all malachas is particulars. That's what malacha is. Is malacha particulars? Right? What is malacha? Malacha is particulars. Right? So therefore, when a person has a cessation of malacha, so then he removes himself from the particulars, right? And the essential mitzvah of Shabbos is what really? What essential mitzvah? Talmud Torah. Talmud Torah is mitzvah of Shabbos, to be involved in the universals, the Chachmas Hashem. See? So that's really the essence of Shabbos. Okay. All right. So right, that's basically it. Okay. That says, I don't want to mention it. All right. That says, interesting, Rav Amram Rama says that it's a special mitzvah on Shabbos to learn about Sheshem Ebreishis. It's special to learn Chochmas Hashem in Sheshem Ebreishis. Why? According to him, you see the idea, you see the philosophy. Because that's right, because he holds not just the universal of Talmud Torah, but the specific universals of the creation of the world is a special kiyum in Shrisa. So that's quite more closely related. That's what Rav Amram says. Okay. If we learn it's Eidus because our Shvisa is Eidus. Our Shvisa is Eidus. Right? Okay? So, well, now how is our Shvisa Eidus? Because we're doing the same thing. We're emulating our Kodesh Baruch Hu insofar as we can. Right? Now there has to be some similarity there. It can't just be it's just a crazy action. It wouldn't be considered a Eidus. You know what I mean? Through our actions, it's Eidus. By our Shvis, it's an Eidus. It's not just saying Vayer, Vayechulu is Eidus. You know, Vayechulu, of course, it's the enunciation also is a Kiyum. But the reason why the enunciation is a Kiyum is because the Shvis itself is a Kiyum. You understand what I mean? That's clear, everybody else away. The Shvis itself is a Kiyum. The Shvis is a Kiyum. That's why a person doesn't keep Shabbos. It's Kefir B'Briyas Shemayim V'Aretz. That's Allah. It's the worst of error. He used the wrong term. I shouldn't say Vayer, Vayechulu. I meant Vayechulu. The Parsha of Vayechulu. I'm not referring to his time. Stop the person starts with Vayechulu. It's also Yetzer. Vayechulu Shemayim V'Aretz Chok Tzvam. Starts from there. That's it. Okay. Right? I didn't mean Vayer. I'm sorry. I used the wrong word. Okay.
I like Aristotle.
Now the question is like this. What actually happened by Noach? What actually happened by Noach? What I want to say is like this. If you take a look at the parsha, it's funny, but like this, when they came out of the teva, you see, it says, when they came out of the teva, kor v'choyim v'kayetz v'chor v'yem v'lal yishboisu, right? Puravu milu'asa oretz, he received the bracha again of puravu. Interesting, why have the bracha puravu? Why did Rishon have bracha puravu? This isn't the tzivui. The tzivui comes later. The tzivu was in the end, Vatem Puravu, Shir Tzivarat Zeruvuvo, is a separate tzivu to Noach. But before it says, Vayvarachal Kemes Noach Hasbar, Vayvarachal Puravu Belos Oretz. Then also, interesting, Umarachem Vechitchem Yeh Al Kol Chayesh Asad of Al Kol Efer Shemayah. What is this? Bechol HaShatir Maiso Adomo, Bechol Degei Ayam B'yedchem Nitano. That was different than by Adam Rishon, right? Kol Remes Asher Chay Lechem Yeh Lachla was Matir Achilas B'sar Taiva. Is it Matim to eat Basa, right? Okay? Nobody right? To that's right, for the one I lead the basa. You have an extra mitzvah even melachai. Then you have certain other halachas of Shevach Dam Adam Ba'adam Dam Yishafa. Different certain halachas that were added in particulars of Shem Mitzvah Neinech. An interesting thing. Why these things? What their position is over here? Alright. Now, what I want to say is one thing. You see, insofar as the marble is concerned, Rashi quotes the Bereishis Rabbah. That Rashi I mentioned before with the Ramban. So Rashi says that a kavani hinni maybe it's a mabul mayim ala aretz. The pshat is really there's two ways to understand the mabul. The Ramban understands it one way. Rashi understands it another way. Now I'm not going to explain every way. I'm going to explain the way I want to word it. Rashi's way. That's like this. That when the pshat in Rashi, when Rashi said that I agree, God says I agree with those who said that we shouldn't create men. I want to destroy the world. It means that it's not the pshat that the marble was. The marble was like this. Two possibilities in the marble. One possibility in the marble is that God says, I'm going to destroy 99.999% of population, except for one person, Noach, and that's the decree. See? Alright? There's another possibility. The other possibility is like this. It was two separate gzeras. One gzera was that the world is chayev kliya, destruction. The world has to be destroyed. That's one gzera, you see? But now, there is something else. Now there's another gzera. Now there's another gzera is that there should be a new creation. You see? A new bria, a new creation. Okay? In other words, it's simultaneously two separate gzeras. Two separate gzeras simultaneously. Now I say that that's the position that I'm going to assume over here. And I say that's what Rashi holds. That's why the Ramban's kasha on Rashi is no kasha. Ramban's kasha on Rashi is, what do you mean, how could you possibly say, Vani, Vuhu Mashi Lehem Sheris Lefleta Gedela, Kaneach Obanu V'chol Chai, Lahar Baizarim Kachol, right? That's a separate zera. See? Vani, Hinni, maybe some Abel Mayim Alars, L'shaches Kol Bosa Asher Boi Ruach Chayim, Mitachas Asher Moyim, Kol Asher Boretz, Yigva. That's one that means total destruction, annihilation of the universe, of the earth. Sorry. Vakimaisis Brisi Itoch, that's a new thing. You see, that's a new thing. What I'll say is that when a Kodesh Baruch, that's the way I'm learning Pshat in the Pasuk, okay? Therefore, Ramban's Kasha is removed. Because Ramban's Kasha is based on that it's one thing. That he brought the marble was created in a way that it's the way to destroy everybody and save Noah. No, I say that the destruction was, destruction of everybody was one Gzera. It had to be destroyed. There's another Xera. The second Xera is that Noach should be saved. You see? That's what it says. Vayemches Adam Asher Barasin al Pnei Adam Adam Ad Behemo Ad Remes Vadeif HaShemayim Ki Nichamti Ki Asisin. That's one Xera. The Noach Motzachem Be'enei Hashem. Separate thing. Right? Now you see, it's interesting. The Medrash says on the Noach Motzachem Be'enei Hashem, the Medrash says an interesting thing. Hold on a second. I want to bring some support for this. Interesting matter. Remember, it says, "Afilu noyach shenishtaya mehem loyhoya kedai, ela shemotzachem." Hodehu dechsev. Okay, quotes the pasuk. Fine. What is the? It says, "Kinichamti ki asisim." It says, "Vinoyach." What is? Because it is bothering us. "Kinichamti ki asisim vinoyach motzachem beinei Hashem." Vav means that he's tied in with the previous. It should be "Kinichamti ki asisim." Then it's the new pasuk. Noyach matzachem b'nei Hashem. Why does he say b'noyach? Right. So he says, "Afilu noyach shenishtaya mehem lo yoyah kedai, ela she matzachem." What is matzachem? It wasn't kedai, so he should have died also. What's matzachem? Matzachem means chen means chinam. Chen means chinam. Chinam means for nothing when the individual isn't deserved. So matzachem means that it was God's will. It was God's will that there should be a new creation. You see, through Noach. So Noach really was Zeicha because of this separate will. You understand what I mean? One will was the destruction, one expression of the will, of God's will was that there should be a destruction of the grid. Then there was another will. That's Motzachem. See, there was another will. And Noach was the one that was supposed to be involved in the recreation. You understand what I mean? Right? Two examples. That's right. But it doesn't mean it's not if it would have meant the whole world has to be destroyed with the exclusion of Noach, then you couldn't say Matzachain. Then on the contrary, then it should say that everybody that Noach really didn't deserve to be put to death. Right?
That's why you were saying.
And that's why we're saying. No. The Medrash says Vinoyach Matzachain. It means that's exactly what it means. That there was two gzeras. One gzera was total destruction, annihilation of the universe, the world. And then there was what? A separate gezerah that Noach should be saved, should be a part of the new creation. Should we stop here and continue Monday?
Wait, no.
This would have to be going according to Yisrael.
I didn't think it would be this long. What?
Right?
Huh?
In other words, this would have to be going according to Yisrael and Machlokas, because Noach is only good as compared to the rest of the generation.
I don't care about that. Separate Machlokas.
What do you mean?
That's
me.
He's
only
good.
I'm
trying to separate. No.
It's not a kasha. I just want to clarify.
No, it doesn't say that. It doesn't say that. Because it says, Medrashes, when the Yalkut brings it down.
It's not a walk.
Don't ask me how good he was
or where I was. Or in Sanhedrin, the Kuftes, Vinoyach. A Pilon Ershin, it has nothing to do with Machlokes or whether it was a Tzadik or not. Because could be the greatest guy, but Flahei Kedain, these guys didn't want to save him. The Gemara says that when Bishar and Rashi quotes it over here in the Parsha, who's Mavis Sanjay? That by Naya, so that when once the Magefas Bol Oilam, then the good and the bad are all swallowed up. That's it. Okay? Yeah. It's a Mabal. Okay. So that's it. Are you got it?
Yeah.
So I say it's a new creation. Okay. right? New creation. So there has to be a new creation. Has to be new. Has to be new universals, new ideas. I mean, not new universals, but new application of universal wisdom. Has to be something new, right? What was in the previous creation that was destroyed, and what exactly was in the new creation that was worthwhile having its existence? If it's a duplication of the past one, then it's worthless, right? Okay. So it's like this. This I found many midrashim. But the Ramban mentions it, but there's many midrashim also. Give me the Agudas. But the Ramban has it also. I just want to show you. There's a lot of evidence for this. It's not something that there's anything new. Certain psukim, it's also certain psukim in the Torah, really. I'll show you. It's passing the Torah, really. Alright. So, yes. The source is, I'm quoting from the Yalkut. Samach Aleph. Yalkut. Shemaini. Okay? Amar B'Yitzchak. Migarm lem shemardu bi. What caused the Dor HaMabul to be murdered against God? Loya yedei shah yuzorin v'loy kaitrin. V'adamar Rabbi Yitzchak echad lemem shana ha yuzorin. You see, they used to only have to plant once in 40 years. They weren't burdened with work. They were able to go from one end of the world to the other in a few moments. And the cedars of Lebanon were torn out as they walked by. Giants. And lions and leopards to them were like little fleas. Nothing. The Kilmasim of Sarah. Okay? Hokeitzat hoyalem avri yofeh. Why? Because they had good air. Shows you. Kamenapesim ala teres. Alright, now, that's the medrash, but there's so many midrashim like that also. A lot of midrashim like that. And I'll show you really to Pasuk in the Torah. I want to explain to you what it means. What it means. Okay? Alright, now, the Ramban says like this. Ramban says, in this one, I mean, I can't follow the Rambam's pshat on this, because the question is this: why they lived so long, why they lived such an old age, in the time of before the Mabul, they lived to be very old. You see, 960, 800, 700. Why they lived so long? Right. So the Rambam says only those who are mentioned lived that long. In the Murray, he says, but the other ones lived a regular lifespan. Ramban says, what kind of an answer is that? I mean, if they could do it, everybody could do it. If everybody could do it, what were they special? I mean, you're not answering the question. I mean, if you're going to tell me that there are a few people could do it, if it can occur for a few people, it's just as hard to understand that it can occur to a few people as it can occur to 100,000 people. If you accept it occur to them, so it can occur to everybody. I don't understand the Ramban's answer. But the Ramban says, the Ramban is on Dalit. So the Ramban says like this. He says... Oh, I'm sorry. And it's in, excuse me, in Hay Pasuk Dalet. All right. Vasiba Barichus Yemeim. He says the reason why they lived so long. Ki Adam Rishon Ma'ase Yadav Shel Hakadosh Baruch Hu Nasa. Nasim Tafas Hashlemus. Binoy Bekoyach Bekoyman. That's the Gemara Rashi. We just learned last night. Vagam Acharei Sheniknas Olav Shiye Ben Mavus Haye Betivi Luch Yisman Rav. He really should have lived a long time. Vekasha Boa Mabal Alars Niskalkel Aleim Ma'avir. They start getting less and less. Why was the Skatsu Yemeim? He says, because it was Shinu Ha'aviros, he says. He says, and it was Shini Haviras. That's why the lifespan was shortened. And Shini Haviras means certain atmospheric changes took place that a person to live less. Okay? Now, he says also like this. Hanafilim is odd. Also a difficult pasuk. We're going to get back to explaining this pasuk also. Hanafilim. All of a sudden, pasuk is explaining to you about the chayt. Vayim Hashem. It says vayikechel. Very very nice parsha. It says with the pasuk vayikechel adam lorav itzvav alaf. Kechel adam lorav al pnei adam avanis yuldolahem. Right. Vayir vnei olakimus bnei sodom ktevus and yukalam roshu kol asher bachar. So they went wild, right? Okay. Vayim Hashem layada ruchu adam lorav b'shagam abasav. Vayim the rest of shana. Give them another 120 years. Nice, fine. All of a sudden, Hanafilim hoyu boretz bayom mahem. What's nefilim? You don't know. You look at Rashi. Doesn't help you too much. Somebody fell down in a shemayim or a giant people. Balei kamo. Hasheyevo. Suddenly the giants come in. Hasheyevo. B'nei elu kamenos. And the old hema gibor mashem yolam anshei Hashem. Right? Then what happens next? Back to the normal. Vayar Hashem ki rabo ras adam baretz. V'chol yetz. Fine. That's what I understand. What is this pasuk of Hanafilim doing here? How did it fall in there? That's the question, right?
Shemayim.
Till later, what it's doing here, really. But let's understand what it means, first of all. So the Ramban explains what it means. Ramban says, he says the same thing over here. He says, by the way, it says v'gam, when it says v'gam achrechein, the Nephilim, it doesn't mean after the Mabel. I'm learning not like the Evanes, but like Rashi goes out of his way to say no. It means v'gam achrechein means, he says, v'gam achrechein af pishe roba of the shaldor enosh. You see? Because there was a flood before one third of the world was flooded.
Yeah.
That's Gamachrechein meant Dor Mabel. But after the Mabel, there's never Nephilim anymore. That was the end of the Nephilim. So before the Mabel, now he says, so the Ramban says, why? He says, Vayu ha noshim o'elan eladim rishonim me'ovo'em b'shleimus gedoyla min ha'goyva v'ha'chayzik kineldu b'dmus aviyem. From Adam Arishin, because the Adam Arishin was perfection, was created in the most perfect state physically, so therefore they too were perfect physically. All right. Now, Kino with Musavim, it says Vitachin Shayu Kol Hakadmainim Adam Sheis Enesh Nikron Bnei Olakim Kihayu Gimel Anoshim Veila with Musaviyai Vazuchal Avad of Arizar Vahuchal. Vahuchal Lovoi Bo Anoshim Chol Shav Arifyain. Okay. Chol Shav Arifyain. You see? Alright? Weakness. There was weakness. The people started to get weaker.
It doesn't mean giant.
After the Malam. No, it doesn't say giant. It means that they were stronger. Man's nature, man's physical self. And there are many Midrashim. Go through the Midrashim. See, that's what the Midrash says. They were so big, they were so strong. What the Midrash is trying to tell you is one thing. That there is a difference between man's physical health before his before the Mabel and after the Mabel. That there were some changes, atmospheric changes, which caused man to become weaker. What exactly it is, we don't know what it is. Maybe an increase in radiation or something. Who knows? I mean, it's speculation. I have a lot of speculation today. So the question is, they used to ask the question, how could man live? Atmospheric conditions. We don't know. I mean, the purpose of the Torah is not to tell us, not to teach us physics, see, biochemistry, but it's to give you the idea. The idea was that there were certain changes, certain atmospheric changes, which caused man to become weaker. That's what you see from the Chazal, from the Ramban. There's a lot of evidence for that. Okay? All right. Now, that's the physical facts, physical change, right? Okay. Now let's understand. So apparently, let's go further now. So therefore, what do you see from this? You see that this physical change was necessary in order for the continued existence of the world. So the first world was destroyed, because the first world was destroyed because that was the world in which man was physically very strong, lived for hundreds of years, right? And he didn't get sick. He wasn't like today. All the illnesses. You look at man. Man is really a sick creature. So it's physically sick. Very few people past the age of 50 that don't have some disease or something, or something or other, or something wrong. Very few. Most people, never mind past the age of 50, young people. Young people. The person inherently, man, is not a healthy creature. There's one out of four. And I say one out of three has cancer, and a heart attack is one out of two. You count them up, there's nobody left. One out of four is this, one out of two is that, one out of five is arthritis, one is who's healthy? There's nobody. One person to find out who he is. So that's the way it is. That's after the Mabel. That's the way it is. So that's the Avir. The Avir was, that's the child. That's why man inherently is a sick creature. Why is that? Why that wasn't the way it was created initially? Initially, it wasn't supposed to be that way. But that was after the first creation was destroyed. It had to be there. The only way that we could exist is through this way, through the physical inferiority. Allowed us to exist. Now, how exactly does it work? What was the reason? What's the shot? Things like this. Actually, what the pasuk says, that pasuk of Hanafilim is very important over there. Because the pasuk of Hanafilim tells you the cause of why the chait, why man sinned and why he deserved to be destroyed. You see? Lo yodin ruchu banu malayim, mashagam avas vayom eres asher. Hanafilim hoya boretz bayom mahen, v'gam achrei chen. Like Rashi says, they never learn. Hashem v'yib nele kem nes v'yolam, v'heim agirem v'shem v'yolam anche Hashem. V'yar Hashem ki rabo ro'as odin boretz. All one thing. V'chol yetz machvest doi rak rak olayim. What was the reason why he was ra? Was because he had the superiority in terms of his health. You see? He was physically superior, and the physical superiority caused him indirectly, I mean, but it permitted him, I should say, to remain involved in chet. Rak, rak, kol ayayim. Okay? You understand? That's why the pasuk of Hanafilim is there. Hanafilim is the cause. It's an important pasuk there. And that's why that's where Chazal get it from. That's why Chazal say that before the marble there was the man was superior, and after the marble there was a chulsha, a weakness was brought to this earth, and man does not have the same strength that he used to have then. Because the reason why he was a chayti was because he had that strength. How does that work? Why was the reason? How does it work? Why was he, how does that tie to when it's chayti? The fact that he was so healthy. And the only way he could exist was not being healthy. Alright? It's an interesting, another interesting medrash. Medrash is like this. It's in, I'm calling for Yalkut Shemayni Nunches. Okay? Nunches. Mars and Adrian Kukkes. What?
Most of them are.
The reason why they were in Nisgoa was because of the good that occurred. Similar to the previous medrash that says over there, it says Migor Mam Shemar Debi Leir They Shall Yizarv Like Kartzim. They're so powerful, big, same thing. Amro Klumon Etzrichem El Latipa Shal Gashamim. What do we need? A little drop of water. We need. We don't even have to pray to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Yesh Lanu Nahorei Semayonei Shana Mestap Kemehen. Amo Kadosh Baruch Hu B'Teve Sheishpati Lahem. Machis neisi, bo ani donaisan. Shnem vani in the mevi as a marble mayim. Rabbi Yechon Zal, okay, fine. That's the Gemara. What are Chazal saying? Interesting thing is, there's one word that's interesting in that message. What's the word? Tana Rabbanan, dar marble in his go el b'shvil teva shen ishpila. Shishpila na kodesh baruch. There's one word that's out of place there. I'll read it again. Tana Rabbanan, dar marble his go is gaiva. The door of marble wasn't the door of Gaiva. The door of Gaiva was really the door of Loga. Right? Yeah. The door of marble was the door of Taiva. Right? That was the, you know what I'm saying? Right? The door of marble has nothing to do with Gaiva. It was Taiva. So Chol B'nei Bosser. B'nei Bosser is the door of marble. They were the people who were interested in Gashmias. Yes, so what's Lonis Go? What's Pshat Lonis Go? The answer is like this. Answered like this. Their objective was taiva. That was their objective. But the reason why they were able to concentrate on their objective was one thing. Because they had total perfection as far as the physical is concerned. You see? It's like this. Klum mardu, why were they mardu? It says, because it says, zorim v'loi kaitrim. There's another medrash over there. It says that because they didn't die. They didn't die also. Here, just a second. Migarlem, never like Kaifin. See? Because they lived for so long. So you see, when man was, man had the perfect physical. There was no breach in the physical. So then he was able, there was nothing to divert his mind, to divert his instinctual forces to think that maybe there's something else. Because he was totally, in terms of his physical self, he had total security, total narcissistic security. So therefore, he involved himself in his taiva as Yom Valayla with total confidence. There's nothing to shake him. You see, what was the difference after the marble when there was the new creation, the second creation, which was not a Yesh Me'ayin. You see, a Yesh Me'ayin, but it was a Yesh Me'yesh because you see there was different atmospheric changes that had to take place. So what was the remedy in the second time? The second time the remedy was that he didn't have this anymore. Man was weaker. You see. Man was weaker. Hanafilim hayu baris bayom lahem. The reason why they were chaitim was because they had this total security. Insofar as there was never a moment where they were ever shattered, because they felt physically secure. You see, the narcissism was so powerful that there was nothing that could break through. They wanted the taivas. They were involved in the taivas. There was never a time when they had to think, hey, maybe there's something else. Maybe this isn't really. Maybe there's a danger. Insofar as my own objectives are concerned, there was no. They felt total security. You see. What? Exactly. Then that's what they directed their attention to was not Gaiva. That was the door flogger. Yossi, but they directed attention to Taiva. But as a necessary basis, it was the reason why they were able to do this was because they had no concern insofar as the physical is concerned. You understand what I mean?
Yeah.
Now, once, however, that's the pshat. Hanafilim hayabaretz bayom ha'mahem. Now you take a look at the next pasuk later. You see, that there was no way to reach them. That's what this goal means. It doesn't mean this goal that they said we don't klum on atzichem. That total sense of security. See, that total sense of security was what prevented them from ever having an afterthought that maybe there's another purpose in life, maybe there's something else. Yeah, there's nothing secure over here. You know what I mean? What makes a person on the whole, if you think about it, what makes a person on the whole think that maybe there's something else? Well, he's disappointed. He sees, he runs after the physical, there's something is missing. He says, one second, maybe there's another thing, maybe there's something else in life. They never had that emotion, never occurred to them. They were able to involve themselves in this, fully, in their times, they feel total security. Never a question, never a doubt. You see? So that's why Kadosh Baruch Hu said, "Lo yadayin ruchi ba'adam lo'elam." Why? Because anafilim hayubaratz bayam mehem. So then, what happened? What was necessary? Necessary was to change the whole, and by the way, it says there was no, the earth didn't revolve around its axis all the time during the marble. All different changes, this is different atmospheric changes. Okay? Right, yeah. So, what?
Why after
Mabel
says
Now let's understand. So it's like this. Now the pasuk is like this. Lo'isif l'kal lo'ides adam abavura adam ki yetzer leva adam ramin urav. It's similar, but it's different. The difference is like this. That in the previous one, you see, in the previous one, it says, like you said, kol hayom, you're right. But the kol hayom is like this. V'chol machshavais libay rak kol hayom. It means because since it was, what is it called? Since on a filim hayabaras b'yam ha'ayim, they had that total security. So therefore, the only area in which the desires could go was in Taifa. You see? But later after the mabul, once there was changes in terms of the atmospheric conditions and the chuli yard alaylam. Man wasn't physically like he was before. Then it says ki yetzer lev adam ramin urav. It doesn't say chol yetzer machshavos libay rak ramal kol hayom. What does it mean ki yetzer lev adam ramin urav? Very interesting thing. It means only when he's young. You see, when he's young, a person all his life is trying to recapture the enjoyments that he had when he was young. You understand? So therefore, he is never completely involved to the point where it's impossible for him to reach perfection, because since he's involved in trying to recapture what would happen in Urav, you see, that is not something which he can really feel security with. You know what I mean? He's always involved in trying to go back and recapture that perfect state. And it only was Ram in Urav, you see. By the Dor HaMabul, they experienced it, not Minurav, but they experienced it actually their whole life. They didn't have to go back to try to find back their narcissistic past and try to go back to there. No, they were able to experience it 100%. That, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, impossible, that can't exist. But now, it's only Ki Yetzer Lev Adam Ra Minurav. So initially it's Ra, you see? And then later he's trying to recapture that. Oh, but it's not a permanent thing. It's just an attempt to recapture. So then he tries to recapture. He sees he can't. He fails. He has struggles. So then he can still see what the real good is, and he can be driven to the real good. You see? But the chol machshavos libay rak chol yetzer machshavos libay rak kol hayom. That's not an attempt to recapture. That's kol hayom. That means that it's a constant. It's constant because he has that total. He has the total security that a person has in childhood that he's looking for. They had it all their lives. See? That had to be changed. That's on a filum hoyobarts by yom mahim. That was a destruction. That's what had to be destroyed. Right. See? That's the thing. That's why, also, interesting. That's why it says, umarachem also, the fact that you see the change, umarachem v'chitchem yiyah al kol chayes ha'oretz v'al kol efa shemayim. You see? Because initially, apparently, Adam Arishin, his original state of perfection, he didn't have to have that Amarachan of Hitchamiyah, because he was able to handle it himself. Yeah. But since he was reduced physically, so therefore he had to have that. And also, they had to have the heter of Kol Ram Shel Chai Lachem Yel Ochla, Kier Gesin Asat Lachem Eskal. It was necessary for him in this in his reduced stature, it was it became necessary to eat basar, because he couldn't exist properly without it. If he refrained from eating basar, it becomes too difficult. He wouldn't be able to live, to be healthy. He wouldn't be able to exist properly. He needed basar. You see, in the original way, not the pshat that it's a, like people say that it's better to be a vegetarian. We don't have such a thing. You see, you don't see chazal vegetarians. So what's the pshat? Pshat is initially in Adam's first the way he was initially. With his gevur, with his strength, he didn't need it. But later, when he was reduced, it became necessary for him to avail himself of that also in order to live a healthy life.
When
see?
Did he become reduced?
If
under himself,
not anymore. Because now man is in a reduced level. In a reduced level, he's not in danger. There's no need for the flood anymore. Oh. And now, Christian, it's not a prediction. It's a change in the nature of man. The nature of man is, if the nature of man is such that he could never, it will never ever be. That, okay, let's go.
What about this?
Oh, it says, and the Mefarshim say, Es kashti nasati ba'ana. So the Ramban says, he says, we have to accept the Greeks. He says, Al korchenu v'anachna al korchenu na'amin l'divrei ha'yavonim. Shemilad ha'shemesh ba'avir halach yiyah ha'keshes. B'toldo, ki b'chli ha'mayim l'fnei ha'shemesh yireh kemar ha'keshes. Yeah, can't deny it, because you've seen a pail of water, you can see a rainbow. Right? So it says you have to agree with what the Greek said, that the rainbow was really there from Sheshi Neberashis. Right? It wasn't there from Nayachot. Yeah, it's true. But it's true. There's no question about it. Ramban did not. That really the rainbow, it says, that's why the Pasuk says, Eskashti nosati ba'anon. It doesn't say Eskashti ani nosain ba'anon. That would mean that God is giving it in the present. But nosati ba'anon meant from the past. In the past, it was there. So what happened now? It always was there, but now it was just designated as an ice bris. You know what I mean? It was designated as an ice bris. It's just designation took place, but it wasn't really in the creation of a new entity. That's the way the Ramban learns. And interestingly enough, the Zohar says the same thing. The Zohar says exactly the same thing. Skashti nasati ba'onan means nasati v'loishani noishan. Now, not that I give, but it was there from before. Okay, it's a chazal. It's a chazal. Chazal. Same thing. So, alright. That's the, what is that? I'd like to understand a little bit. What is the keshes? What does the keshes mean? Okay, it's a keshes turn this way, back right there. And there's something else in the keshes. Really, there's two things, really. We said that there are two brias. One bria was what? Was the yesh me'ayin. But by Noach was a second bria. And I'll tell you what, and I'll show you, there are a lot of things that indicate a second bria also. Because you see, for instance, it says that it was a nace, the way the table was a nace, everybody fit into the table was a nace. The Gemara says that the water was boiling water, reischun. So the Medrash asks, if that's the case, so why didn't the table fall apart from the heat? No, because it was a nace that around the table was cool. You see? What it means is, these things show one thing, that it was two contrary forces working simultaneously. One was destruction, like I said before, and the second was a new creation. You know what I mean? You see? Because it was one thing, there should be harmony. No, it shows there's two different forces working there. So it was a second creation. But the second creation wasn't Yesh Me'ayin. What was the second creation?
Yesh
Me'ayin. How would you define Yesh Me'ayin? What is Yesh Me'ayin? How would you define Yesh Me'ayin? Something from something is combination and separation. That's what it is. That's basically what it is. The person creates a table, but he takes the wood. There's only one thing. It's combination and separation. That's what it is. That's it. Right? Now, actually, what is really a rainbow? What is a rainbow? A rainbow is when you take the light, the white light. White light has in it many different colors. The colors of the seven colors of the spectrum. And the drop of rain works as a prism. And the prism separates the light from its one uniform whiteness. It breaks it up, it separates it into seven different colors, right? You see? And that's why you see the colors of the rainbow. Then it goes back into right. It goes in and out. That's basically what it is. That's why that is the ice bris. Because the reason why man is able to continue to exist is because of the second yetzir, which was Yesh Me'esh. And the Yesh Me'esh is what saved the world. And that's in the rainbow, in the breaking up of the light. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, so the last point I'll mention was the Yetzir of Yesh Meyesh is nothing, is nothing more than combination and separation, correct? So we said that's the Mabul was the combination and separation, and that was really the Keshes. Because the Keshes takes the light and breaks it down into seven different components, and then it's, the Keshes is the rainbow. The rainbow, it separates it, and then it comes back, then it comes back together again. That's what we mentioned. Yeah, it's also very interesting that according to Rabbi Yehuda is very good, because according to Rabbi Yehuda, the first thing that was created in Sheish Shemei Bereishis was light. So Rabbi Yehuda says. According to him, the ice was in the very same thing, which was the first element of creation. Uh-huh. Namely light. Okay. Now, Yesh Me'ayin, which was the first thing in the Yetzirah of Yesh Me'ayin, was the light.
Light, symbolic
and light is Yetzirah. Light is the first element that was created. Mm-hmm. In that element itself was the os of the combination and separation of the rainbow. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, the point I want to mention now is like this. That, 2 points actually. The question is, what is the progression from Adam Arishayin till here in terms of the psychologically? The difference between before the Mabul and after the Mabul is expressed by two psukim. One pasuk is V'chol Yetzer Machshav Aslibo Rak Rak Kol Hayom. That's before the Mabul. And the second pasuk after the Mabul is Ki Yetzer Lev Ha'odom Ramin Urov. Okay? That his evil inclination is from early youth. Now the difference between the Chote before the Mabul is Chol Yetzer Machshav Aslibo Rak Rak Kol Hayom. It means that he's inherently involved in the process of chet. The other one is ki yetzer lev adam ra min urav. Why is he a chote? Because in min urav he was a chote. So he's going, the urim are catching up to him, they're capturing his yetzer, capturing his emotions. You see? That's the lachar mabul. Now that situation that we have, that situation is not one which is deserving of a mabul. That's why. The chet of man there was always because Ram and Urav. That's why. So I mentioned, as Aristotle says, that why is it difficult to break away from the taivas? Because the taivas have a head start on man. Because the taivas begin from early youth. That's what Chazal say. It's Pasuk in the Torah. It's the very first second the instinctual desires are there. Okay. That's basically it. I just want to elaborate on 2 points.
Oh.
One point is Machlokes brought down, I'll see if anybody, you've got a Yalka Shemaniyam. Machlokes whether or was first, matter was first. Or whether or was first. That's Machlokes.
Is there a reason why or was first?
What? Whether light was first. That's Machlokes. Okay, that's the whole thing in Bereishis. The order in Bereishis, it's not an order. Bereishis Bara Lakim doesn't mean that Bereishis was Shemayim Varetz and then the other things. It doesn't mean that. All the Mefarshim say, Chazal say, because it says that Yehi Or, that Or, as Chazal say, that Or was the same Or. One Chazal says that the Or, that's Yehi Or, was the same exact Or that was later by the Kechavim. The only thing is that they were fixed in their positions on the fourth day. But they were created on the first day. Rashi says it. Everybody learns that. So the Bereishis doesn't mean the first thing was created was Shemayim Varetz. It's not an Or. Okay. The Rambam says also, the Rambam elaborates on it. Okay. Until the Mabul, why the Mabul was necessary. Alright? Okay. First thing in Adam, just to go briefly, I'm not going to go into it because it's on the tapes of Adam Rishon already. Right. The first thing in Adam was the fact that Adam was created, he only had two sides. He had his intellectual side, and then he had the typhus, right? He had the emotion, the instinctual. Then the instinctual overpowered the intellectual, and after that took place, so it was necessary to have another part of the mind. What part of the mind? It's conscience. We call conscience, psychologists call superego, whatever it is. That was the part that was that was tied in with the shame. Yeah, with his nakedness, with his shame. So therefore that was something which was set up, a constellation of the mind which was set up directly in opposition to the taivas, and therefore he has a chance now to distinguish with his intellect between the two forces. Okay? That was the first thing. Then the next thing you had was Bezeis Apechotech Alechem, right? The curse of Adam, Bezeis Apechotech Alechem. And what else? And the Kais V'Dadar Yatzmiach Loch. And I just want to mention one thing that on the Bezeis Apechotech Alechem, I think, I don't know if we went into that last time, did we? But just briefly, Bezeis Apechotech Alechem meant that he didn't want to live like a behemoth. It was necessary ready for him to have a different type of taiva. Lechem is like is the sublimated taiva. That's what was necessary. Bezeis Apechotech Alechem. Now there's one more thing I just want to mention, that in the klal of Bezeis Apechotech Alechem is also a bracha. Why? It was a necessary thing once man sinned. Because the thing is like this. When a person is attached to the taivas, so the thing that keeps him going, the thing that the base snake keeps him going, is the fantasies of the future taivas. He gets accustomed very quickly to the taivas that he has. And what keeps him going is the fantasies of the next taiva. That's what keeps him in existence. Learning through Kehelis is the first part of Kehelis goes very much into that. So, therefore, if it wasn't Bezeis Apechotech Alechem, but if man would have those taivas immediately, he would be destroyed. Because he would immediately, he'd have whatever he needs right away. Correct? Once he has that, so now there's nothing more to look forward to. You see? The reason why the curse that he's looking, it's a curse and it's a blessing at the same time. It's the only way possible based upon his situation. In other words, in the situation he's in now, he's attached to the taivas. What do the taivas attach themselves to? The taivas are too great to be satisfied in the present. So since they are not satisfied in the present, they project themselves onto the future. Now, if he could achieve that future readily, then everything would be in the present. In the present, he'd be dissatisfied. So then he'd find life worthless. So the fact that he has to work for it, as Bezeis Apechotech, it takes a while for him to achieve every little change that he works on. Because of that, so that's what keeps him alive. That's basically what keeps him going. Otherwise, he would be falling into total depression. So I find many times, you see people who are successful, immediate success, instantaneous, and then that's it. Then they find that they fall into depression. Because they start realizing that the fantasies they had about what those taivas would bring never really lives up to the fantasy. Doesn't live up to the fantasy, and he has no new fantasies to look forward to, then his life is over. See? Okay, so that's why Bezeis Apechotech Alechem was necessary.
Yes. Did you say lechem was a supplement?
Last day. Yeah. Chazal say that lechem, because he said, Ani v'chamori yechlu me'evas echad. Me and my donkey can eat from the same barrel. It was degrading. So lechem is a higher, a sublimated form of German. I'm not like a behemoth. He went through that. So that's what Rish Lakish said, that it's too bad. He should have remained with the first thing. Because what Rish Lakish meant was like this, that for Adam in general, universal man, it's true that he has to, that this is his emotion. But for Talmud Chacham, a person whose energy is in learning, the only area where the energy can be satisfied in the present, the only area where a person can satisfy his energy in the present is in Talmud Torah. So in that area, of course, then he wouldn't need the Yalacham. The Shlakas didn't need it, you see. But Adam Arishan represented the totality of man. Totality of man required the sublimated Yalacham. Okay, that was one thing. Now, was after Bezeis Apechotech Alechem, then there was another curse. The Kaitz V'Dardar Yatzmiach Loch. And we went through that already. I mentioned it in the previous day also. That the Kaitz V'Dardar meant that he could never have a perfect instinctual object. The object of his instinct could never be perfect. Because if the object of his instinct was perfect, he'd never be able to remove himself from it. So a person can spend time and wait until he has enough money to feel that he can go out and get himself a Cadillac. But you can be sure when he buys that car, you'll find the window wipers don't work properly, the door doesn't open right. That's the Kaitz V'Dardar. What does that mean? It means that an instinctual object of perfection, that was removed from Adam. Why? Because if he had that, then he'd never be able to remove himself from the taivas. So Kaitz V'Dardar is something which helps him to remove his instinctual desires from the object of the instinct. Okay. Yeah, of course. All necessary for man. All necessary.